Would you rather own 100% of a little grape or 10 to 30% of a massive watermelon? Welcome to the Nine Doors Down Show, where we discuss anything and everything about commercial real estate and investing. Let's get it. Get it. Get it. Get it. Get it.
Nine Doors Down.
John Lopez.
Nine Doors Down.
Hi, this is Tony Rose.
Nine Doors Down.
Hi, this is Anthony Pimentel.
Educating, capital raising, networking.
Nine Doors Down.
This is called a show.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Nine Doors Down Show. Anthony, this guest, I think I've only known her maybe for like 2 months or so. I met her on a boot camp for public speaking. I remember messaging the Zoom group, hey, you know what? I have a podcast. I would love to invite those that are on here to be a guest on my podcast. I kid you not, Crystal was the first one to message me probably within like the first 2 minutes.
That's awesome, man. And usually those people are the ones that like take action, you know? The action takers.
Yep. Bingo. Yeah.
They see an opportunity and like, hey, I got to meet this other person, or I got to meet that person, or I got to get in front of this person. It's pretty cool.
Those action takers are the ones that stands out. And when we're going to dive into her in just a sec. Our featured guest is Crystal Ireland from Real Pearl Investments. Crystal Ireland is located in Ottawa, Canada. She has a relentless drive and a keen eye for opportunity. Crystal has established herself as a dynamic force in the real estate investment arena. Armed with determination and an unwavering commitment to success, she embarked on her journey into real estate with a bold vision and a clear objective to build wealth and create lasting financial freedom. What sets Crystal apart is her innovative approach to real estate investments. Despite starting with no capital, she leveraged creative financing strategies to enter the market. Her breakthrough came with acquisition of their inaugural property, an impressive 8-unit building, in a feat that underscores her acumen and foresight. Crystal and her partner Andy orchestrated a series of strategic maneuvers that saw the property's value double with a remarkably short span of 9 months. For those listening at home, maybe they're shoveling snow out there in Canada. We're moving the rocks out here in the deserts of Las Vegas, or we're in the shower, stuck in traffic on the 405 in Los Angeles. Let's all welcome our featured guest, Mrs. Crystal Ireland.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, you never know when it's going to snow in Ottawa.
There's a lot of snow, I bet.
There's no snow now, but that doesn't mean there's no snow tomorrow.
Like on the intro, Crystal, there's a saying that I go by is like, you know, knowledge is nothing without action. On that boot camp, I was soaking in so much knowledge of about public speaking, how to use the stage to pretty much sell yourself, sell your product, sell your vision, and most importantly, sell your story. Let's dive in on your story.
Okay.
What was life like before you launched Real Pearl Investments?
So life looked like I was working the 9-to-5 grind and really more like 80 hours a week. We're trying to do all these side hustles, side businesses, Amazon, FBA, like you name it. We're trying to do everything so that we could save money to get into real estate. Because at that time I was in a real growth. So I was listening to tons of podcasts, listening to tons of millionaires, how they made their money. And the common denominator was real estate. Everybody made their money through real estate. And so I was like, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get in there? And then we're just hitting block after block after block. And we're like, okay, something's missing here. People are doing this. How can we do this? So we knew at that point we needed a mentor. And we tried different real estate investing groups. And we still felt very alone. And we were still getting a lot of no's. And then Real Pearl Investments came after our real mentor stepped into our life, and everything changed from there.
Are we allowed to name drop the mentor's name?
Sure. Alfonso Cuadra.
I think I know that guy. Shout out to Alfonso.
Yeah. Well, Genius changed our lives. We were a part of Wealth Genius before it was Wealth Genius. So a lot of growth there as well.
And for those that do not know Wealth Genius, it's the largest real estate educational platform in North America. So it was founded, you know, in Canada by Mr. Alfonso Quadra, and Anthony and I are actually part of the Wealth Genius family, and it is now branching and making its waves out here in the United States. Going back to that time that we were on the boot camp, Crystal, what made you reply to my message like, hey, I want to be on your podcast?
A lot of what Majid was saying in that podcast, he was saying, always be ready. And I'm a big believer in action. Like, the time is now, don't wait. So I replied to you right away and said, yeah. And then I booked into the calendar and that was it. I'm like, let's do this.
Let's go back a little bit. You mentioned about some of your struggles where you kept getting these no's. Can you kind of elaborate on those struggles? Were you trying to raise capital or were you trying to find deals? What was it? Was it you weren't sure about your underwriting? Maybe kind of go through that.
I would say like all of the above. We didn't even know we could raise capital. Like, we didn't even know that that was a thing, or that someone like me, a little old me, could raise capital. I had no idea that that was even a possibility or even how to go about doing that. We were told that, like, if we had investor-focused mortgage brokers or investor-focused realtors, that, you know, they would find us different deals and they would have different financing options for us. But what we found quickly is that just because they say they're investor-focused mortgage brokers doesn't mean they know anything about investments or creative financing. And so we weren't meeting the right people. And so when we were trying to bring deals to them, we just kept getting told no, like no, no, no. And so we're like, how do people do this? I was really confused. I'm like, this is supposed to be an investor-focused mortgage broker. They're supposed to find creative financing. They're supposed to be able to do VTBs. Oh, but then we found out, actually, lenders hate VTBs. So there, you have to, like, your approach, the people that you're talking to, and everything matters. And so we took a lot of learning. It was a huge learning curve for us, and the right people, the right person or people to teach it to us.
When you were going through that, through the capital raising, what was that first asset class? Was it a single family flip? Was it a wholesale? Was it a buy and hold? Tell us a little bit about the first action moment for you.
It was Alfonso doesn't mess around. He's like, why are you going to do a duplex? It's like, it's the same work for multifamily. Just do multifamily. And then there's a lot of different pros to that as well. So including different financing options. So we definitely went, I think our first one was probably a 15 unit. We didn't end up moving forward with that deal, but we went 15. And the first time we went raising, we were definitely new, naive, and we had to go through all of those struggles to get to the place that we are now. We were pitching, which, you know, deals. So we had to learn how to pitch a deal to investors. We also had to learn that you don't want to just pitch to random investors. You need to have relationships with investors. And that's how you actually make deals happen, is by networking, building connections, and you want the right people in your deals as well.
Welcome to the course on raising capital for investments. In this course, we'll cover the following topics. 1, analyzing your investment strategy. 2, discovering potential investors. 3, crafting your pitch. 4, securing your investment. 5, our cheat code. We'll round out the program with our very own cheat code for getting in front of investors and being ready to pitch your investment opportunities. Take action today. Visit schoolofninedoorsdown.com and learn to attract capital. It's funny you say that. Crystal, because Anthony and I, we focus, we believe every single metric of real estate is important, right? Underwriting, the acquisitions, the asset management, property management, the whole nine. But we found ourselves, we were able to exponentially expand through capital raising. So, you know, we started our fund. We've had it for a couple of years now. And we learned at a certain point, when you do understand the fundamentals of real estate, the real estate hat kind of comes off and it becomes sales and marketing. How did you find your avatar for that first round, for that very first capital raise?
For the very first one, I don't think we knew. I think it took us, I think at least two properties that we went out there raising for, and then we weren't doing it the right way. But what it did is, first of all, it introduced us to a lot of investors. And we had that imposter syndrome when we started. We're like, why the heck would anybody give money to me? For what reason? And all of those calls, and like, we hustled. And when I say a lot of calls, I mean like a lot of calls, Zoom calls. We jumped on Zoom calls. We learned how to make our package, how to properly pitch a deal. I think we went from like maybe 40 minutes pitching a deal down to 20, down to sometimes 5 minutes. So that just came with practice and understanding. And it helped us get over the imposter syndrome, because when we started pitching deals to investors, we started realizing, A, that investors need deals. There's a lot of passive investors out there that need to park their money somewhere. There's a lot of passive investors that want to be exactly that. They want to be passive. They don't want to be in the deal. They don't want to manage the deal. They don't want to do all those things. And see, we learned that a lot of investors didn't have the education. We're just going out there freestyling it and investing in terrible deals. So I knew that I was bringing value. I knew that I educated myself, and we were bringing amazing deals, and we were going to provide a solution for them. And once we started realizing and understanding that, that gave us the confidence to say, no, we are offering something of serious value here, and we're probably going to save a lot of investors from making big mistakes.
Yeah, you know, Crystal, that's a very fascinating story. Again, the action taking absolutely came in. Would you say you found more success pitching the deal or pitching your story? Which one of those like had the most effect on your potential investors?
Well, I think it has to be both. So I think there's no investor that's going to invest in just the deal. Like, so I would say, I guess then this, in that case, the story is more impactful because they invest in you. Of course, you have to present a great deal. Otherwise, they're not going to invest in the deal, but they're investing in you first. So you have to have a connection. There has to be trust. That you have to know each other. That's the only way to build trust. And I think you and your story is the most important.
Right.
Yeah. That's so true. So true. Now, you know, in Canada, it's a little bit different. Now, the way you guys raise capital or share your deals, would it be with just people you know, or you're able to, you know, market it through social media? I know different provinces have different type of, you know, different laws or policies.
Yeah. So you cannot, like, legally, you cannot do that. You could get yourself in trouble if you're out there marketing your deals on social media. But what you can market on social media is yourself. You can market yourself on social media. You can market the deals that you're doing. You can market the activity that you're taking action, that you're involved. So I would say you market yourself, and then you attract the investors to you.
You know what? I did not know that. I mean, we've been part of Wealth Genius for probably about a year now, maybe a little bit over. And so here in the U.S., there's a 506B, which is B as in boy, and there's a 506C, which is a cat. The 506C is, you know, we could solicit all we want, include the returns, post on LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever, long as they're accredited investors. But with Nine Doors Down, we chose to go 506B as in boy, which we could take accredited and non-accredited. But the catch is, we're not able to list any deals online. Once we build a relationship, you know, we totally can. But we learned that marketing and sales is how we overcame that, and we were able to share our story. Now, this is one question that I ask just about every Wealth Genius member. Are you currently investing in the United States? If not, are you planning to invest soon in the United States?
I'm not investing in the United States yet. So our goal actually is to get 2 more properties here in Canada, and so that we, and that the properties are stabilized and they're running efficiently. And then we're going to set our sights actually on the US. We just want to have our foundation, and we want it stable so that we can pivot our focus, and because there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve investing in the US, so we can put our focus and our sights in the US. But that is our plan after 2 more properties investing in the US.
Well, that's one of the powers with Wealth Genius, right? You're closing your proximity closer and closer to you. So like when you are ready to dive into the US, you have us and a growing number of American Eagles that's going to be ready.
We're so excited about that. We're definitely growing in the US, and we're always doing boots on the ground there. And I'm hearing about the deals like from like Trevor and Brian and Thomas Larini all the time. So my ears are definitely open and I'm listening. I know what's going on over there. So.
And another thing that I also bring up with every Wealth Genius. So when Anthony and I first got into it, we had no idea that you guys don't really have double digit IRRs. And we learned that the mortgages were only like 5 years, right? And then you have to like reassess every 5 years or so. And yes, it is amortized. But what is it in the recent news, which I'll let you tell our listeners, what was something that came about in Canada? At least for me, I saw it probably earlier this week. It said shed some light and maybe some darkness on that new policy.
So the Canadian government is for their new finance thing that they're presenting, they by June 25th, they want to increase the capital gains from 50% to 66%.
Say that one more time.
66% on capital gains. That is insane. That is, they're trying to destroy us. I don't know what they're thinking with that one. They should, especially because we're short on housing in Canada. That's the opposite of what they should be doing right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had to digest that first. That's why I was like, wait a minute. That's crazy.
So. Crazy. Like, his, for example, like they've changed a law so that you can turn, you can legally turn a single into 3 units. But if the investor, like if you're paying that much capital gains, who's going to be buying, or like, so who's selling these things to improve them or make more or add on or, yeah, it's just, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Cause I'm just thinking, okay, 66% plus your tax bracket, because in the US, depending on your tax bracket, also depends how much you get taxed. And then you add on the 66%. I mean, that's pretty nuts.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. They give an example, I can't remember the exact amount. But like, for example, if you were to make $600,000 on the sale, the government would take over $200,000.
Wow.
Man, Canada is like one large California, New York, Illinois, Washington, Oregon. Holy moly.
So
crazy.
I'm assuming the investors, like always, will pivot. Now, are there any deferred, like 1031 exchange the way to defer taxes by putting into another property? Those will get popular again.
Well, this might actually make BTBs popular again. Because one of the ways that you can defer your taxes of the capital gains is by doing a VCV.
Excuse me. For us Americans, what is it? A VCV?
VTB. So it's a vendor take back, which is basically it's seller financing. So the seller will finance the deal. So what they can do, by financing the deal themselves, they can defer the capital gains because the interest that they're going to make from you taking the mortgage basically from them, they're going to make interest on that. They can pile that interest to pay towards their capital gains. So then it's less of a hit. Obviously, it's a longer sale, but then they won't have, they'll get the price they want, and they won't have to pay that amount of taxes.
So they'll take their money in increments as compared to one lump sum, mm-hmm. in a way, and you can
still,
defer taxes
still
that way.
They're getting your money though.
Yeah, so they're basically they're financing the property for you. Yeah. You're directly financing the property with the seller, and then so you're paying them interest, and if they put that interest towards the amount that they would pay in capital gains, it'll lessen the amount of capital gains they pay.
So would you say that your experience and background and knowledge with creative financing, is it going to give you a leg up on the competition out there in Canada?
Oh, for sure. Real estate investors, we always pivot. We always move with the market. I don't think that there's a market that is bad. You can always find a way to move in the market. You just have to think outside the box.
And then do you have other teammates with Real Pearl Investments that you could ping pong ideas with?
Right now, it's just me and my fiance, Andy. But we have the whole community. We have Eagles where we're around all the time. So we have 1,000 different people that we can ping pong ideas off of.
Yeah, that's a powerful thing. And that's something that still impresses me about Wealth Genius. You know, Anthony and I, we're a part of several mastermind groups, right? Whether it's multifamily side, you know, the fund strategies. But yeah. I can say that the Wealth Genius brand that Alfonso has created, there's an energy that's inside that. And with the Facebook group alone, I yeah. sense that energy. And Anthony and I, we've yet to go to expand. You know, we've hosted Boots on the Ground in Dallas and in Las Vegas, but we still want to see that energy firsthand.
Yeah, you guys, you have to come. You have to come. It's crazy. It's electric. It's electric. And even just some of the meetups, like if you, like, let's say you had this amazing deal, something happened, didn't go through. Now you're on a down and you're like, oh man, this sucks. And like, this is hard. Maybe I don't want to do this anymore. And you go to a meetup with people that have this crazy energy, and like, maybe people have gone through the same thing as you, or you're seeing people are like, they're doing this or doing that. It's going to motivate you and say like, you know what, if they can do it, I can do it too. And you know what, this is just a moment, like, let's get going. It just recharges you and sends you back on your path.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly spot on. I mean, like, that's why we see the value in community,
yeah.
and masterminds. You know, really, you're surrounding yourself with like-minded people who've been through those speed bumps and challenges and kicked in the face, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
it's sometimes when I hear, like, sometimes people heard my story and they're like, oh shoot, I never got it that bad, like I never experienced that. So it's kind of like, it's just part of the business.
Mm-hmm.
even if you started your own restaurant or anything, your own daycare, there's challenges all the time. It's just you know, how you push through it, and plus having people, so being surrounded by the people that have the same mindset, man, you're always going to push forward. So that's the really cool thing.
Yeah. And proximity is power, and
yeah.
things can happen like that, things that you're not even expecting. You talk to that one right person, or that person who knows somebody that can help you, things can change in like in seconds. Like I can't even express how proximity is power. You can't say that enough, because it's so true.
It's, yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot better to build a bridge than burn it, right? And,
yeah.
And if you're good at that, your proximity is just going to get closer and closer to you, you know, because when we
yes.
first started, like, we were hosting our meetups. I mean, we still host meetups to this day in Southern California, Northern California, Vegas. You know, we got one in Texas coming up, but we had to create that. We had to create that community. It's a good combination to enter an existing community and also create it where you put yourself like on a platform and you could be considered a thought leader. And, you know, I think a lot of people sees you as a thought leader, Crystal. You know, I kind of see like on social media with the Inner Circle. What are some horror stories you've had in this game?
In this game? I mean, I don't know. Some of them I can't really talk about. Talk about like tenant stuff.
Yeah, sure.
There's a, I mean, for privacy, can't say all of it, but you know, sometimes tenants are very interesting and can be a pain in the butt. But the thing is, too, like again, why proximity is power. So just meeting or knowing the right paralegal to help you in those situations, get you out of those situations. I could share a crazy story that one of my students went through. So they had a townhouse, they renovated it, rented it out. And like, I think it was a duplex. And the person next door wanted to tear down and rebuild. The problem is that because of the way that these are built, they were connected. So the only way you could tear it down was by tearing the whole thing down. And they really wanted to do this. So they had one of those like noisemaker, you know, like those really high pitched tone noisemaker. So their unit was vacant. And so they put it in the unit and they would play. They bought huge speakers and they would play this sound to irritate the neighbors. But the neighbors had a dog, a baby, you know, like that could like really drive someone crazy. So they kept calling the police and the police said, well, there's nothing we can do about it. And then eventually got so bad. There was a hole in the, they made a hole in the ceiling and like, so that the sound would go out. Like they were trying to get them out that badly. Eventually the police did step in and remove those, the sound, the speakers and the noise, but that's just crazy. Like the lengths people will go sometimes.
So what were some of the lessons and how did you become a much better investor experiencing that?
I guess like when you're dealing with difficult situations, you just need to learn how to pivot, how to handle them. That person, their tenants moved out, but then they had to get new tenants in. And it's just working within, I would guess, the landlord-tenant board, learning how to navigate, getting the right people involved, the right paralegals, taking the right action. Just simple things like filing an application. If you have a mistake on it, it can cost you thousands and thousands of dollars. So just being connected to the right people who can help you avoid those mistakes is crucial.
I love that. You have that testimony that you can share because, you know, for one, you're a coach. So you get to see the trials, the tribulations, and the winning stories from your students. You know, when we met on the public speaking boot camp with Majid, why is public speaking or learning that art of persuasion, why is it so powerful for you? And why do you enjoy learning about it?
For me, I think the first time I ever got up on stage and shared my story, I had a lot of people reach out to me and let me know how much that it impacted them. And that kind of fed something in me. Like one of my main missions is to give back and to help people. Where are you going to find real estate education? Where are you going to find really amazing communities to help you get to the next level? So for me, the more people that I can help, whether it's like an Alfonso or Tony Robbins, like I aspire to help on that level. The only way you can do that is by learning how to communicate, learning how to share your story, and being on stages. Being on stages is the way that you can impact and help the most people. And so it's crucially important.
That's amazing. I mean, I have a problem with public speaking, but I don't know. I can just talk to anybody, but public speaking is really not my cup of tea. I probably get nervous. Maybe you can give us some tips, maybe a couple tips for people who get, you know, nerves just before they get up on stage or they're going to do a boot camp and speak in front of, even if it's 10 people to 100 people. Maybe you can share maybe some tips that'll help them relax a little bit and just flow with whatever story you're going to tell.
Well, there's a couple of things. So one of the things, so when you're really nervous and you're feeling that nervous energy, you feel the same energy when you're excited. So you have to tell yourself like, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm not nervous because if you keep telling and repeating to yourself that you're nervous, you're going to be nervous. So if you just try to change it, like, oh no, I'm really excited. I'm excited to get on stage to share my story. And then also, another thing that has been really working for me is instead of thinking about me, because it's possible that you can go blank, you can forget what you're saying. Those are the things that we're worried about. But if you're thinking about the audience and how your story could impact or change their life, if you focus on that, saying, how can I help people in the audience today? How can I impact their life? How can I change their life for the better? If you're thinking about it from a place of service, then rather than how you appear on stage, it's going to change your nerves. You're going to, like, today I want to go out there and I want to impact people's lives, and I want to help as many people as I possibly can that are in the audience today.
That's powerful, Crystal, because I remember there was a few times when I told Anthony, I was like, man, I cannot believe the lives that we are impacting and we've never met them. And it could be they may have seen us at a place where we're the guest speaker or even our podcast or like our social media. And that's why I always tell the people that's getting into this, share your testimony, share your wins, share your losses, because don't be selfish, because that's actually going to help the next person. You may know that person may be sitting next to you, that person may be one of your best friends, or that person might be on the other side of the world that has never met you.
Yeah, exactly. And sharing your losses and your failures is just as important as your wins. So people need to know that it's okay to fail, and yes, failure happens, but you just need to get back up and do it again. And the only thing, I don't believe there's failures. I believe that there's lessons you learn. As long as you take the lesson from that situation and then you learn from it, then that's how you grow. You can't grow otherwise, right? So I feel like those lessons are important to help you grow. And if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's like my background is like IT. So I feel like, doing what we do in real estate, it's like we're problem solvers, right? Like to me, everything is troubleshooting. If this doesn't work, do this. If this doesn't work, do that. It's like first steps is like, is the computer unplugged? Oh, okay. How about the cable? Like the internet. Like those little things. Like I go through those steps in my head. It's awesome. And that's how I grow too, because now I know I've done this, these few steps, then I know because I've experienced it, I can go straight to this step, like step 10. You know what I mean? Because and then it's just a quicker way to resolve something. That you make a really good point on that. It's always learning and problem solving. That's us.
Yeah, and also, like, I don't want to give, like, a disillusion either. So yes, raising capital, like, we're good at that now, but I didn't raise capital for my first deal, not even my second deal. I think it took us like the 8 month preparation, 9 month preparation to be ready for that deal that came along. We had to go through that learning process to get to where we were for the right deal. It wasn't like an overnight, like, oh yeah, we're just great at raising capital. We had to hustle. We had we had to practice a lot before we were able to finally figure it out.
I feel you on that so much, Crystal. Before our first capital raise, Anthony and I, my wife and we had a fourth partner. We actually joint ventured on a 9-unit property. Obviously we didn't have the capital raise. We had the capital for that. But the very first deal, it was probably a few months after that deal closes, Anthony presents an opportunity for a 432-unit self-storage in Galveston, Texas. And I'll clearly remember him telling me, he was like, hey, it's a $10.5 million deal, but we got to raise $4.5 million. I kid you not. I was like, I don't think I could do that. I was already thinking of no's, like in my head. I was like, I better ask from friends, family, but we're gonna take it on because we know we're gonna learn lessons even if we don't. We raised the capital successfully in like a matter of weeks, right? But even on that raise for me, I was thinking about me. I need to get into this first syndication deal, right? I need to be part of a GP. And then more rounds of capital raises and more properties that we're doing, I started realizing that it's not about me. It's about helping those in front of you. They may not invest now, they may invest later, but for those that don't invest now, maybe they just need to learn and absorb your story a little bit more. Maybe following us on Instagram, hopping, you know, getting on our email distribution list, and just creating avenues where I'm no longer thinking about me. I'm thinking about you helping education, education, education.
Yeah. And then through the, your successes too. So if they see you doing a successful deal, they'll think, oh, I don't want to miss out on that again this time. Right. And sometimes they, people just need to see you succeed first before they come in. And that's okay. And that's okay. And urgency. When you have urgency and you say first come, first serve, and they don't make it, you're stacking investors for next time. And next time they're going to want to jump in quicker and not miss out on the deal.
Absolutely.
For sure. For sure. So with that education, you know, we put forth out there in social media, what we're doing, our activity. What are you and your team doing now? Like, what is your kind of buy box? What are you guys working on? I guess these next few months.
Right now, so we recently just closed on a 36 unit.
And nice.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that one. And right now we're working on two new builds. And we're finding, I love that sweet spot of like not doing the full development ourselves, either coming in for a shovel ready property or buying one that's built already. And there's a lot of incentives out there right now in Canada to buy new builds. There's a lot of different incentives that they're giving. So if you have an energy efficient building, for example, then you can score, if you score the 100 points, then you can get a 95% loan to value on a new build, which is amazing. And 50 year amortization. Wow. So yeah, so there's a lot of incentives right now.
I would love to have a 50 year just and then sell, you know, flip it. But that's awesome. Now, are these build to rent, new builds to be rented out, or are they new builds to be sold?
So there's different ways you could do it, but the two that we're looking right now, they're built and they're ready to be rented.
Oh, built.
One is already fully tenanted, and one still needs to fill some units.
Awesome. You know, thank Crystal, you.
I think that is one edge Canadians will have, because at least here in the US, you know, when people start first getting into commercial real estate, just like us, it's value add, right? Class B. Yeah. You know, some of these people are probably just fresh out of a mastermind. Whereas I see Canadians like kind of like in the beginning phases, they get more. Yeah, they're wholesaling. Yeah, they get their buy and holds with the multifamily and stuff. But I see more of a mixture of actually in the development side of things. And in my opinion, and I know it's still, you know, early me getting to know a lot of Canadians, but I think you guys may have an edge because you've experienced that out there in Canada, where if you guys do decide to do that out here in the US, you guys will have an edge and you guys will attract a ton of Canadian and US investors.
Yeah, I can't wait to get my mitts on the US.
Yeah, we would Let's explore some more, Crystal, later down the road. Let's, you know, who knows? I mean, there's going to be, there's tons of opportunities that we're getting into. I know there's the opportunities that you guys are getting into. So we're building it out so that way everybody can win.
I have a question for you. So what would you say right now are like the top three markets in the U.S. to invest in?
Cash flow or appreciation?
No. Good question. Cash flow.
I think going to where a lot of the Canadians are going to right now, like Ohio, Indianapolis, the properties that are built, like, you know, in the 1920s. And Anthony, he actually has, you know, he had an Indianapolis property. He could shed some light on that.
Yeah, it was one of my first ventures as a new real estate. It was for sure, Class D, Class F property. It was a rough part of the neighborhood. So that was another lesson learned. But yeah, probably the Midwest area. You can just buy properties a little bit. It's the price per door is a lot less compared to, you know, the Sun Belts, where they can be in the few hundred thousand per door. So there's been some opportunities there, but we focus a lot in Texas and Arizona when it comes to multifamily. And from our experience throughout these years, we decided that we're more focused on the B assets, like pretty much good neighborhoods, good schools,
Yeah.
good workforce. We don't go into those C and D neighborhoods as like I used to. When you start in this business, you go to the cheapest.
Yeah, well, I would say we're a little bit more on the obviously every deal has a cash flow, right? But I think a little bit at this phase, we're a little bit more on the appreciation side. So we pay attention to a lot of like local politics and where we invest in. So we pay attention to where the companies are moving to, where back in 2020 and 2019, it was where businesses were moving to. But when 2020 and COVID hit, we were following the U-Haul. And so coming from California, we noticed that a lot of people were moving to the Idahos, the Arizonas, Nevada also, and Texas, because some of the states, the tax laws, it caters to business owners, right? And so a lot of business owners were leaving California to just have breathing room when it came to taxes. And that's why Arizona is high in our list. That's why Texas is high in our list. There's other markets that are doing the same thing, but we happen to already plant our seeds. We have our broker relationships, we have our property management, and so we're able to like make moves at a much quicker pace because we already have the teams established. And just like how you are in Canada, you're gonna have the same thing in the US.
Yeah, exactly. And like that's another powerful thing about community, right? So having people on the ground in those areas who can connect you with the right people, the right contractors, the right lawyers, the right people to be involved with. And I really believe in referrals, but not just referrals like, hey, my friend Uncle Bob knows so and so who can help you on this deal. I mean, like referrals of people who've actually used their services and can say, yeah, these people did a great job. You should connect with them. They should help you. There's nothing more valuable than that, especially in this industry.
Yeah, you said it right. Like, you know what? I think real estate, it's like a dog chasing its tail, right? You think you caught it, and then boom, it keeps running away from you. But you feel like you could just touch it and grab it, and you have to just continuously adapt. And I think that's one thing why Anthony and I, we like this field, because we have to learn and stay focused on like what's going on, globally. On the macro side, on the micro side of things, and just so that way nobody could predict the future, nobody has a crystal ball, but we could kind of educate ourselves of like, okay, this area might be solid, 10, 50, 10 years from now, whatever. Like, I had a conversation with one of our partners in a Texas property yesterday, and we were talking about like what states we should go to next. And he said something pretty cool, because I was like, you know what? Salt Lake City, man. There's a lot of businesses. Salt Lake City, Utah, right? And I was like, a lot of businesses are moving there. A lot of people are moving there. And he said something that like kind of stuck with me. He was like, you know what? It is, but it's not much of a value add play. Wait 10 years, 8 to 10 years, when those properties are being built now. Now it's more of like of a class B, and now we can make our money on the value add side. And that pro because I had that proximity with my partner, I was like, wow, I just learned something new today.
Well, you know what? Like, I love secondary markets for that reason because they're cash flow and appreciation. I like both, to be
Yes.
honest. If I can get both, then we're golden.
Yeah. And Crystal, like as we're winding down, and I think this is my first time that we've actually got a chance to talk to one another, but I think we should definitely explore more after this, because I feel like this episode could easily go 2, 3 hours, but I want to respect your time. And but we just have a few more questions. The first one that I have is, what is Crystal Ireland's superpower?
I would say being coachable and being adaptable, like always growing and willing to listen and to be guided. I think being adaptable and being coachable, that's my superpower.
Always a student. I love that. All right. Now, these next two questions, honestly, Crystal, these are probably going to be the two of the most difficult questions you've ever been asked in your life. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. Buckle up. You're stuck on an island. No friends, no coworkers, no family around, but you are able to bring your smartphone. On your smartphone, you can only load up one musical artist or one album that you can listen on repeat continuously, just to save, you know, just to save your mind, right? You know, get into peace. What is that you can listen to until the next person could actually rescue you on the island?
Wow.
Told you, it is going to be a difficult question.
That is a difficult question. Maybe like Bob Marley.
Great choice. Great choice.
Yeah.
He has that soothing sound, just the chill. Everything's gonna be all right.
Everything's gonna be all right. Like that's fun. Like when you're stressed to the max, bring it down, and it's inspirational music, and I think you could listen to it over and over and over again.
Yeah, the Stir It Ups. One Love is one song that I like. That's one probably the. Yeah. One of my favorite songs, the very last, because I don't know if you know, but I'm a DJ also. So that's one of the last songs that I was played before, like, people leaves. And also, it's funny you say more of a reggae influence, because I'm learning that Canada, it has a large Caribbean background, and a lot of people move there from the Caribbeans.
Yeah. We have all kinds of people from everywhere. We have a huge Caribbean influence here in Canada.
I love that. Island music.
Yeah.
So speaking of islands, so my question is, are you a tropical person or I guess like the mountain areas? And if so, where would you want to travel to? If you had a bucket list, would it be tropical or mountainous areas?
I think it would be more tropical, because two of the top places on my bucket list right now are Greece and Thailand.
Oh, nice. Okay, beautiful. Greece, I heard, is really nice. I don't know. The only one I know is that Mykonos Island.
Mykonos, Santorini.
I don't know. I just seen it on the internet and some photos and Instagram.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous, stunning. I do love the mountains, but I think tropical would be
nice. And you know what? I think it's going to go well with your Bob Marley soundtrack. So you can just vibe with it. With your drinks. With your margaritas.
Exactly.
All right. Next up, Crystal, is how can our guests get a hold of you? Say if they want to partner with you. What's your website, social media handles, email, whatever you'd like to share to potential new relationships and partners.
You can find me on Facebook and Instagram. I don't know if you can provide the links later below.
I definitely can.
In the video. So yeah, I'm on Instagram. You can find me as Crystal Ireland on Facebook and Instagram.
Crystal, it's been an honor to interview you and get to know you. And I just want to say thank you again for taking the time to hop on this podcast with Anthony and myself. And for those that's listening at home, please share our podcast. You could find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, YouTube. And on that note, thank you for tuning in to the Nine Doors Down show. We out.
Peace.